And back to having fun, and if it's basketball, it's got to be fun. Anytime, anywhere. You know, I've said on numerous occasions, I'm a football player, as I said, born and bred. You know, started playing football seriously in sixth grade, man. It was always my ambition to play at Penn State and play for the Baltimore Colts for as far back as I can remember. And I had the good fortune of being at Slippery Rock University, and my college roommate was a guy named Otis Lockhart out of South Hills High School here in Pittsburgh, 5'10", just barely, that could hoop, man. And he was in a college down south, and it didn't work out, so he came back home and signed up at The Rock. So I used to tease him as a roommate. I used to say, Otis, I mean, this is 1970, 72 now, so remember, this is back in the day. I said, Otis, how hard can basketball be? I mean, even girls play. It can't be that hard. This is before girls really started playing. So he said, that's what you think, huh? I said, yeah. I said, now football, that's a man sport. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, meet me in the gym tomorrow, and I'll see how much man you are. Well, longer story short, I lost 10 games in a row to Otis Lockhart, 10-2, 10-1, 10-0. And I'm here to tell you, and if Otis ever hears this, he'll tell you. And when he beat me that last game, I said, Otis, we got to do something. I said, I'm not a loser. I ain't going to never take a whooping like this again. And from that moment on, I'm going to tell you something. I started playing basketball every other moment I wasn't playing football. Basketball just took over my mind. As a matter of fact, I got good enough by my junior year going into my senior year. Mel Hankinson, the coach at Slippery Rock, asked me to go out for the basketball team. He said, I could use your big butt. And he told me, I could use your big butt on that block. But the game is, basketball's different from football. Trev, you might agree. Y'all should know Trev Jones, the Hall of Fame producer here, is a track man, football man himself, at one of America's black colleges. Yeah, football, I've been trying to explain this a little bit. Football players, maybe because of the helmet, because we're so far from the stands, it's a different kind of emotion. And I think off the field, off the court, basketball players have this family kind of attitude. You can go anywhere in the world, and you almost connect. And football doesn't seem to – did you get my point, Trev? Football doesn't seem to connect the same
football
way.
I totally disagree, because I think that football players, they have that bond as well. I think – I get where you're coming from. I think that society has changed, and I think the type of players, you know, that are coming up, that they've changed the mindset, because when you look at society now, it's all about me, 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 me. There's really not that cohesiveness and that attachment.
Okay, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, back in the day, it was a different.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. So, the sense of basketball and to my point of the camaraderie and the togetherness. Here you guys are virtually thrown together over a period of a year or two. And you've created this kind of cohesion that can win a world title. So when you remember back to the championship night, give us a feeling of that, Cal. How was preparation for the championship night? Were you guys confident? Was it a given that you're going to win this thing? How was championship night?
No, I think Connie was hurt that day too. I mean, he didn't play because he was hurt. We was playing New Orleans, Larry Brown, Doug Moe and them, and he was hurt at that game. So the next game he played very well.
Game six and seven.
And game seven, Charlie Williams, he just went, he was phenomenal. Charlie did everything. I mean, it was Charlie against Larry Brown. Charlie, they both 5'10", whatever.
Yeah.
Charlie, Larry Brown. Yeah. Charlie had about 35 points.
35, that's exactly what he had.
Charlie was just.
He was a star game.
Yes, he was. Everything he threw up, Charlie went. He was so quick, too, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Connie did share, but it was Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown was the key.
Yeah.
Charlie Williams, I'm sorry, not Charlie Brown. Yeah.
Connie won the series for him by winning on the road games four and game six.
Because he was hurt, and he still played very well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was hurt. Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back to something Trev offered, which was that Pee Wee Kirkland played at Norfolk State.
Yes, he did.
And I didn't realize that.
Oh,
so,
yes, he did.
So the legend really started after that.
Yes. Well, it came when he went to Dover Fair. He had the legend.
Okay.
Because he had the legend from New York City Rucker League. Mm-hmm. And so when he went to Norfolk State, it was just like
afterthought.
Yeah.
Playground.
Playground. Because, yeah. Everybody knew who P.B. Kirkland was.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so awesome.
Yeah, he was amazing.
He go to Portland. I guess when he went to Portland, Norfolk, he probably was going in on a Cadillac, driving up in the Cadillac.
Because rumor has it that the Lakers offered him a contract in the streets.
Said no, it was Chicago.
Chicago?
Chicago Bulls.
And he said no.
He makes more.
He said, I make more money than what you're offering me doing what I do. So
the Chicago Bulls offered him $12,000 on a contract to play.
So, Cal, let me ask you this, if I may. I'm sitting here and I'm in amazement of all of you gentlemen because you're actually part of history, each one of you, when you think of it. Because we say history, if it's not in the history books or if other, millions of people aren't talking about it, you think it's not history.
Okay.
But history is things that are happening and things that people have made happen. And even with Mr. White, with you following and catching up with the players from the Pittsburgh Pipers,
that's amazing.
That's history. That's history.
Amazing, yeah.
And you even wrote the book.
After all these years,
again, that's history. Now, my question to both of you gentlemen then is Pittsburgh Pipers. A lot of people don't even know about the Pittsburgh Pipers. And also, even those that do know, don't really know about the ABA.
That's correct.
And then those that don't even know about the ABA, but they're familiar now with, okay, I hear Pittsburgh Pipers, I hear ABA. Mm-hmm. What was it like? For me, I'm a sports fanatic, and I'm sitting here, I'm in awe, because I'm like, wow, you actually played with Connie Hawkins, and it was your rookie year, correct?
Yes.
And so you had to be, 23 years old at the time?
No, I was 21 years old.
21 years old,
the thing
right.
about it, they had one club, the Aurora Club. Remember the Aurora Club on the Hill District?
The Aurora Club, yes.
We would go from the game to the Aurora Club, and that time they had the cowboy outfit, you know, the cowboy hat, the pocketbook, and afros.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But no, but if you go to on the Strip District and go to John Hines Museum, you see the picture of the Pittsburgh Pipers.
Yeah, there is a little Piper section there.
It's of the Pittsburgh team. You'll see the picture of us in there.
And I think they also have Connie's Harp Globetrotter uniform.
Does he really?
Yeah, okay. There's a couple things of Connie in there. One of them is a picture. Either it's a picture of him in Globetrotter or Globetrotter top or something like that. But yeah, he's represented too.
But getting back to what you talk about, during that time when Pittsburgh. Well, don't forget you had the Pittsburgh Pirates. You had Doc Ellis, Willie Stargell. You had
my all-time favorite, Matty Lou.
You had Manny Sanguine and stuff like that.
So this is the time when the Pirates actually had the all-black starting lineup.
That would have been 1971.
71, gotcha. Yeah.
Doc Ellis. Yeah. No, it was before that, too.
Yeah, it was right before that. But certainly there was a lot of black players on the team.
Doc Ellis was there in 66, 67. Doc Ellis was a
Doc Ellis was there.
But they were moving towards that 1971 team is when the Post-Gazette identified it as an all-black team, and it became a national thing.
Gary Bond and Bob Vanilla, Vanilla didn't come until in the 70s, 72.
You mean 90s, 90s. Okay. Barry Bonds.
But you remember, when Connie filed a lawsuit, the Littman's lawyers and stuff like that, they was the ones that really helped Connie.
Absolutely.
With that lawsuit. Because after the first year we won, the Littmans came and took over Connie. As far as the lawsuit, getting the lawsuit started and stuff like that.
Now, the history on that is, you really want to go back now. We had the Pittsburgh Wrens from 1961 to 62 of the Old American Basketball League. Because Connie couldn't finish out his days at the University of Iowa because of the betting scandal, which he had nothing to do with, but they
bought
him. University of Iowa
they
got nervous,
they bought him.
Kicked him out, so he couldn't finish at Iowa. So it just so happened the ABL was starting, started by a guy named Abe Saperstein, who was the owner of the Globetrotters. So Connie came to Pittsburgh just because, once again, Alex Meditz, the trainer, strikes.
Correct.
He found Connie's name in a basketball magazine. They didn't have the internet, of course. And so Connie comes to Pittsburgh. He's only 19 years old, and he's the MVP of the whole league. Well, while he and while he was going to the Aurora Club and such things like that back then, he met the Littmans, the two lawyers, Rosalind and David.
That's correct.
They befriended Connie. Connie was fortunate enough to meet Nancy, who he married. So that's important because once the Wrens folded, so because he married a Pittsburgh girl, he stayed in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. The Littmans stayed in contact with him. So that when the ABA started then in 1967, the Littmans started the suit in 1966 while he was still with the Globetrotters. So Connie's staying in Pittsburgh is what ultimately enabled him to get in the NBA. If he'd gone back to New York, he probably never would have made it.
When Connie was on Charles Street on North Side.
Right, exactly.
You had the Jim McCoy.
Yep.
They married Nancy's. Walt Manger from Newcastle.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. Walt Manger.
These are household Pittsburgh names. Walt Manger, the McCoy boys.
They played with them with the Wrens.
With the Wrens. So what happened? They stayed over.
Jim and Julius McCoy.
That's right.
And Jim McCoy.
From Farrell, PA.
Okay. Yeah. So now, let's do this before we run short. So for all of our listeners out there across the nation, at least you wonder this is kind of a Pittsburgh thing. It's a national thing because these Pittsburgh Pipers are all over the country right now. So as Mark alluded to, he's gone all over the United States to find these guys to bring them back home for what will be a grand celebration. The 50-year anniversary of the Pittsburgh Pipers 1968 ABA championship team, and a salute to the late, great Connie Hawkins. And I'll just set the stage, Mark, and then you jump in. But we're talking Friday, May 4th. All the guys are expected to land here in Pittsburgh, gather at the Pittsburgh Marriott Hotel, Cine Center. We've got support from Councilman Dan Lavelle, Pittsburgh City Council, State Representative Austin Davis, Chief Executive of Allegheny County, Rich Fitzgerald, a host of corporate and businessmen, a ton of former players, coaches, what have you, coming together to create what would be a perfect storm of the yesteryear, the current year, and everybody else in the middle to have a grand celebration for these guys. May 4th, reception at the Savoy Restaurant, 6 o'clock until. So everybody coming to Pittsburgh for that weekend. If you're in Vegas, if you're in Oregon, if you're in Florida, this is worth coming to Pittsburgh for. This is our ABA Super Bowl, if you will. Because these guys have not been together since 1968, literally. So the reception at the Savoy, 6 until. Friday night, May 4th. Saturday, there'll be a bit of a press conference at noon at the hotel. And then Marcus Robinson, who heads up the Pittsburgh ABA, Pittsburgh Bullets ABA basketball team currently, will stage a celebrity game between two ABA teams to pay homage to these veterans and these legends. And then we all go back to the Marriott Saturday evening, 6 o'clock reception. 7 o'clock dinner, awards presentation, salute to Connie Hawkins. And as a good friend of mine used to say, for that event, you want to go deep in your closet.
Yeah.
You got to go deep in your closet and pull out your good stuff. This is a dress to impress affair.
There you go.
It's going to be all the former Pipers. We're going to be bringing players from Pitt, Duquesne, Robert Morris. We're bringing high school student athletes out. Yeah. We're bringing celebrities like JT Thomas and Myron Brown, a local legend who played for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're talking Chuck Sanders, former Pittsburgh Steeler. All these people coming together for this grand night. So to your point, Mark, what happens the night of?
The night of what, our celebration?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me tell you what led up to this. As I wrote the story from 2013 to 2017, I did research and was able to write out the whole story. But I wrote it knowing that I still had to talk to as many of these guys as I could. And fortunately, I've been able to reach all of them. But it occurred to me as I'm interviewing these guys, after about the third one, I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, next year's the 50th anniversary. These guys have never gotten together. And I called Bill Meyer, who, he was the first guy I talked to.
Oh.
I said, Bill, what do you think about a reunion? Have you guys ever gotten together? And he goes, no. I said, well, what do you think? He says, well, sounds good. And so I was minding my own business thinking, well, if I can just get these guys here and meet at the corner of an Eaton Park on a Thursday night, that would be cool. And then I was supposed to interview Connie Hawkins in late October. However, he passed away 3 weeks before I got there. So I went to the Phoenix Suns offices just to see if I could meet somebody and talk about Connie. Well, in the course of talking to the receptionist, Bill Neal's name came up, and I didn't know Bill Neal at the time. So I went downstairs, got my handheld Google machine out, and looked up Bill Neal, and lo and behold, he ran the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League. I called him, and so Bill, having done affairs like this before, thought, let's go big. Let's do this right. And so that's how it happened. And, of course, May 4th, 1968, that's the actual day that Game 7 happened down at the Civic Arena. Uh-huh. And Charlie Williams scored 35 points. So I thought, well, let's make it as close to that date as possible. So, lo and behold, we got that weekend. Saturday night, May 5th, is going to be the big affair. The actual 50th anniversary, we'll have those guys together at the Savoy.
Now, Trev, I want to pull you to the microphone because I want you to please tell all of our listeners. Obviously, if they're listening, they've already found us. But tell them how to tell other people how to find us so this thing can start to vibrate across the country, because there's a lot of Pipers people out there that are going to want to come home for this.
Very simple. Just go to urbanmediatoday.com on your phone or on the PC. Click on urbanmediatoday.com. It takes you to our main page where this show will show up. And then you'll hear about this. And then also we can actually post the information about this on the website as well, which I'm going to do, of course.
Sure.
So you'll see the information, which will be the flyer that you have. Take a picture of that, put it up. And then also just come to urbanmediatoday.com. Listen to the radio station. You'll enjoy the music as well as the shows and all the shows that we have going on. There you go. It's simple. Urbanmediatoday.com.
And you've been informed now. Be mindful that that's also the same week of the Pittsburgh Marathon is that weekend. So people coming into Pittsburgh, you want to book your rooms early because there's going to be a zillion people coming to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Marathon is one of the top three marathons in the nation. I think it's right behind the Boston Marathon. So be advised, you want to get a room if you're coming this way. Now, the other thing you want to do is you can call the office of Achieving Greatness Incorporated. That's my office, Achieving Greatness Incorporated, 412-628-4856. 412-628-4856. You can get more information about the event. You can reserve your tickets. Tickets are on sale now, and tickets are limited, so you want to jump on that. And, Mark, give them your phone number and your email address, please.
703-725-5818. That's 703-725-5818. And the email address is forgottenchamps@gmail.com.
You know, Cal, you made a comment moments ago about how amazing it was for what Mark did in terms of tracking everybody down.
I agree, yes.
It speaks to documentary. What you did is really
amazing.
It could be a documentary in and of itself if you had had the forethought to have a camera follow you to each of these guys'
that
homes.
That would be awesome, yeah.
That would have been a documentary in and of itself. I mean, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but there you have it. So the night of the event, we will have people like the announcer from Duquesne University.
Ray Goss is going to be the MC.
And who's just celebrated 50 years as a basketball announcer. We'll have people like JT Thomas, hopefully Franco Harris, who I extended an invitation to, Manny Sanguin, some past champions from Pittsburgh. We'll have Frankie Gustine.
It's the restaurant.
Yeah, Frankie will be there. Yeah, Frankie Jr. Frankie Gustine Jr. will be there. And then you got B.B. Flannery, Myron Brown.
Wow.
And then we're doing the Connie Hawkins Hall of Fame inductions. Jimmy Nichols, Jeff Baldwin, the great player from Duquesne. Keith Starr, the great player from Pitt.
Keith played the ABA.
Yeah, Keith's coming in from Vegas. Jeff Baldwin's coming in from Texas. Steve Vanderveer, Pittsburgher. Some of the great basketball players. Marcus Tomlin coming in from Philadelphia. Stu Lyons, the great left-hander out of Fox Chapel. So it's going to be a basketball night, man. It's going to be big time. So if people want to get in touch with Mark Whited about the book, if you have Piper's information, contracts, letters, photographs, get in touch with Mark. He needs all that stuff for his book. If you're trying to lock into the event, it's 412-628-4856 is the number to call. But go ahead, Mark.
One more thing. I wanted to follow what Mr. Producer said a few minutes ago about the history. No, he brought up some good points about the history. The way I looked at this, I'm a very proud Pittsburgher, and by being a Marine and traveling around the world, you have no idea how just wearing a Penguins shirt or a Pirates shirt or a Steelers a golf shirt or whatever in an airport, you have friends for life. It is unique, and it's because, and it really gets down to this. We won those four Super Bowls in the 70s, and then the steel industry went kaput, and people left town in droves, but they took that sense of community, that sense of Steeler pride in them, that gave them that added Pittsburgh community, however you want to define that. And that's how I got interested in writing the book. And it would be easy to write about the Steelers, but there's tons of books about the Steelers. There's tons of books about the Pirates. There's a lot of books about the Penguins. But on that imaginary bookshelf of Pittsburgh history, there's an empty space for the Pittsburgh Pipers, who won a championship just as compelling as any of the Pirates or Steelers. And trust me, I love the Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins. But what the Pipers did in 1968 is just as compelling as any story of any of the... What Connie Hawkins did is just as big as what Mario's ever done, what Roberto Clemente's ever good done, point. What Terry Broad's said. That's that one chance. Just dragging them through games 4 and 6 in New Orleans when they were down 2-1 and then 3-2. They, like I said earlier, there'd be streets named after him if he had been able to be around longer and win 2 or 3 championships.
And Cal, I was going to make mention earlier when I made mention of the book Foul, F-O-U-L, in case you're out there listening. The story about Connie Hawkins is called Foul, F-O-U-L.
One of the best sports books ever written, by the way.
It speaks to how he was mistreated and accused of something he didn't do. But after that book was written and it was off and running, Connie told me that a movie was soon to follow. A movie never did follow. Connie didn't show much emotion about much of anything.
He never do.
If you were in a room with Connie, if he wasn't 6'9", you might not know who he was. That. Very quiet guy, very humble. I've never seen a trophy in Connie's house. I never saw a trophy. I never heard it. The only time Connie talked about his greatness is if I pulled it out of him or if we went to do an interview of some sort.
And you would have to pull.
And you'd have to pull it. But two things ticked him off that the movie was talked about and never followed up on. That's really Hollywood as it is. Mm-hmm. But he was also included in the top 50 greatest of all time.
That's correct.
And then taken out of it at the last second. Because I talked to him about 2 weeks before they released that 50 greatest basketball players of all time, and he was in it. And I suspect because he sued the NBA, I think they had a long time grudge against him, and I think that's how. Because clearly, there's at least 10, and I don't have the list in front of me, there's at least 10 people on the 50 greatest players of all time that should not be anywhere near that list,
He was at the fair, though. He was there. He was at the All-Star game when they gave him the jackets.
Yeah.
So he did get a jacket.
Okay. But he wasn't listed.
He wasn't listed. Yeah. But they did give him a jacket. Yeah.
He shouldn't have been number 51.
he should have been. Well, I told this story countless times. He and I and Kenny Durrett went to the NBA All-Star game up
Kenny
in Cleveland.
Kenny was tough.
Kenny was a beast.
Yeah,
Kenny was a beast. And, you know, people forget. City League champion, state champion at Schenley High School, LaSalle All-American 3 years consecutive. Kenny signed one of the big early big contracts
because of Tom Gola. Now Tom Gola was the coach at the college he went to,
LaSalle.
Yeah, and that's why he went to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean he was.
Yes.
His first contract was like 1.2, which at the time was astronomical.
Yes, it was.
So Kenny was a legitimate star, but we went to Cleveland, And this, no, I mean, simply put, I'm like a 12-year-old kid hanging with Connie and Kenny, and we're down on the main floor, and I mean, literally one after another throughout the course of the hour or so before the game, Jerry West, Will Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, Bill Russell, Bob Lanier, all these guys came over to Connie. He wasn't walking over to them. They were coming to Connie. Hawk, what's up, man? Hey, Connie, what's... I mean, it was just amazing to me. And that's when I realized back in Pittsburgh, we were taking this guy for granted because he allowed us to. Because Connie just, you know what he did a lot? You know, he played tennis all the time.
He loved that.
Shenley Park.
Up at Shenley Park at Mellon Park?
On Sundays, Mellon Park. You're right. Mellon Park.
He just wasn't the guy to talk about himself. So, I mean, he's going to be greatly missed. He died much too young at age 75. He meant a lot to a lot of people. He helped a lot of people, changed a lot of people's lives. I know all the guys that played in the league, those of us that had a chance to play with him. He played the first 2 years of the Connie Hawkins League, and I had a chance to, I played the first year or two of the league, and then it got so busy that I had to run it and couldn't be a part of it because it took off. You know, we didn't expect it to be what it became. We went from 100 people a night to 500 people a night almost overnight. So Connie played the first 2 years, and then he went off to the Lakers. And then I had a chance to coach him one time. We went to this tournament somewhere, and he was good enough to go with us. And he didn't have to, but he went with us. And I'll never forget this. So I'm ranting about something that my team's not doing right, and he pulls me aside, and he says, he used to call me Commish. He said, Commish, don't help him win. You know, just relax. Don't help the other team win. I always remembered that as a coach. Don't help the other team. That's the only thing he said to me. In other words, he was like, shut up.
Stop. Yeah.
Step back. Let these guys play. And don't help the other team win. You're getting in the way is what he was trying to tell me. And I never forgot that. So, yeah, I mean, he's just going to be missed big time. So, I did want to make mention of this, too. For all of you listeners out there across the country, because you do get your new Pittsburgh Courier wherever you're at in the United States. The new Pittsburgh Courier, as of this morning, officially became our media sponsor. So as of this week, the acknowledgement of this event will begin appearing in the Pittsburgh Courier every week.
Great.
And Trev, you'll be happy to know as well, the acknowledgement of our show, Soul Take Champions Live, will begin appearing in the new Pittsburgh Courier every week.
Make Urban Media Today Radio your only source for that feel-good music. Log on to urbanmediatoday.com and listen live or tune in to Live 365 or the TuneIn Radio apps, which you can download for free. From morning inspiration with the Church Flow, weekdays from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. and Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And throughout your work week, it's the Flashback Urban Hang Suite and a little something for the 90s babies. Take us with you for the car ride home or to work with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam, mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and in the afternoon from 5 to 6 p.m. Tune in weekdays with Trevin A. Jones for the HBCU Sports Report. Also Saturdays, join in on the conversation, Urban Media Today Talk Sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and the big guy, Alan Lincoln. And how can you go throughout the day without any gossip? Tune in to the E! Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. Get your money right with Mary Jo Lincoln and RSG Accounting Services with Money and More weekdays and only on Urban Media Today Radio. We have specialty programming as well. On Sundays at 5 p.m., it's the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ. Oh, yeah, and we can't forget about the Unwind, right? After all the hustle and bustle with work and the kids, it's time to settle down and enjoy the nightcap. It's simply for lovers and for music lovers with the best in old school R&B and slow jams. This is just the beginning. Urban Media Today Radio is exactly what you need 24/7 online at urbanmediatoday.com by downloading the Live 365 or TuneIn Radio apps. What are you waiting for? Download and enjoy today.